And the Browns a little bit up with Hoyer on the shotgun, and it is Jermaine Cook offset to the white. Four wide receivers, Benjamin Gordon among them. Now Hoyer with the snap, going to air it out deep. Gordon is there. He's got it inside Bear territory at the 40-yard line. Blown assignment, Chicago, and just like that, 44 yards on that deep back shoulder fade from Hoyer to Gordon.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, it's a Football Friday, a Reaction Friday. I want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Your thoughts on what you saw last night, but more importantly, what you see going forward. Tweet us at Browns_daily. And Brown season is here, and the best fans in the NFL need their gear. Shop the new and improved selection in apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the shop at First Energy Stadium, open at 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or visit shop.clevelandbrowns.com. And we are pleased to bring aboard with us right now from Cleveland.com, from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, does an outstanding job of covering this football team and the NFL. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Vic?
All right. Thank you for joining us, with you last night at Soldier Field, watching what we pretty much expected to watch, right? I mean, you've seen your share of fourth preseason games, and this one, I don't know, did anything other than kind of live down to the standard.
No, it was exactly as we expected. I think the only mildly surprising thing was that we got to see Brian Hoyer for a whole game. And I think that's great for a third-team quarterback to get thrown in there under, you know, surprise conditions, a little bit of adversity. He has to overcome some things. And, you know, I thought he handled himself very well in there, brought them back, kind of held it together with, you know, just a bunch of guys around him that he probably hadn't spent a lot of time with. So good job by Brian.
Mary Kay, Nathan Zagura here. Good to talk to you. One of the positions that we were looking at yesterday was the backup inside linebacker position. Tank Carter, JMJ, of course, LJ Ford. I thought all of them had good plays. JMJ with the interception return for a touchdown. Ford, of course, with the fumble recovery. And Tank Carter broke up a pass, almost had a chance to intercept it and ice the game at the end there. How do you see that position shaking out here now as we approach the need to get down to 53 men?
Wow, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, I think Tank Carter has actually, you know, shown some things this preseason, and I think they like what he brings to the table on special teams. I think they feel that way about LJ Fort as well. You know, I keep thinking that James Michael Johnson will be the odd man out here, just from a sheer number standpoint. And I think that's, you know, that's disappointing because, you know, he was a draft pick and, you know, you want your draft picks to work out. So, you know, maybe for him, the interception, the pick six will help him a little bit. But, you know, I just don't think he has the edge when it comes to these backup linebackers.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with that. I think it was an uphill battle for him to go into this game because LJ Fort was playing well. And Tank Carter specifically brought in and targeted to be the guy that would help this special teams unit. And it looks like he's doing exactly that. And he's been a solid player. And just watching him through training camp, you didn't see this guy have many, if any, bad days. So, and you need the solid depth there as well. But there's a, we looked at that and we kind of have been monitoring roster battles. But Mary Kay, as this team sets its final 53, I have a great expectation that there could be more than a few players who are not on this team now who will be on this team as part of the final 53.
Well, yes, that's right. You know, a lot of things could possibly happen over the next few days. You know, guys are going to let go. Guys can be brought back. They will be tinkering with that bottom part of the roster. And then there are also, you know, some other considerations. There's decisions that have to be made. That, you know, there are some injuries that you have to account for. I mean, right now, you know, when you look at it from a receiver standpoint, you've got Josh Gordon, you know, leaving the team for two games. So, you know, that probably spares someone for a couple of weeks, like a Josh Cooper or someone. You know, then you look, you know, again, even if Devon Best is out right now with a little bit of a knee injury. You've got Jordan Cameron at the tight end position that's struggling with a little bit of a groin. You know, is he healthy enough that they just go with the three tight ends right now? So, you know, I was talking about Gary Barnage and Kellen Davis. So you've got a lot of things that you have to look at when you're putting together the final roster. And then you also have to think that you can probably bring back a number of the younger guys for the practice squad.
When you look at this roster and the thought that some people here will be on the 53-man roster that are not in this building currently, what positions do you think need to be addressed from outside that maybe the talent isn't there or the depth isn't there within right now?
Well, I think one of the places that you might want to look would be at the guard position. You just have no idea what's going to happen there with Jason Pinkston, Sean Laval. So they might want to keep an eye on that spot. I mean, I think they're pretty well set, obviously, at the quarterback position. They don't have to worry about that. I think they have enough wide receivers, even though, again, there are some issues there for right now, but I think they're okay there. Running backs, I think you might want to keep your eyes open at the running back position. I mean, I think Brandon Jackson's going to be okay, but his average, you know, is per carry is below 2 this preseason. And to me, that's a little bit of a concern. I think even though you're playing with second team guys and third team guys at times, I still think that your average needs to be better than that. He's had enough carries. It's been representative. And so I guess that's one that I have my eye on a little bit. I think they're going to be okay at tight end, but always looking for the backup offensive lineman, especially guard right now. And then, you know, I do think that linebackers are always popular at this time of year just from a special team standpoint. So, you know, you might look around there and see. And then, of course, you know, punter. You know, I think that's still a situation that might be a little fluid.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us from Cleveland.com. You check out her great work there. Cleveland Plain Dealer covers the Browns. Mary Kay, David Nelson had pretty much his one game audition, his one time through this entire offseason / preseason / training camp to do whatever he needs to try to do to make this team. It just seemed like a very uncomfortable night for him, even though he caught a team high 4 passes. And help set up a field goal, but you saw it end with him cramped up and limping around at the end of it all, and it just he was slipping. It just never looked right for him.
No, it never did. And you know what? It almost might have been a little bit too much playing time for a guy that was cramping and that was struggling to come back. But they needed to see what he could do. I mean, they have to make a decision on him by Saturday at 6:00. So they needed to see, can we rely on him in a game early on? So he kind of had to, you know, battle through it. And, you know, I thought he did okay. He was, you know, at times, he was very hard on himself afterwards. I think too hard on himself, you know, for a young man that has spent 1 year out on an ACL and then was set back all through camp with a bone bruise in the same knee. He's barely practiced. He's practiced for a week and a half. But I thought he showed some things. He's got great size. He's a good slot receiver. He's worried that he's going to get cut. Now, you know, I think they've made an investment in him and would like to keep him on the team, and that they see some things in him. So, you know, I think he's probably going to be okay, but he is not confident at all heading into these cuts.
Didn't sound it. No.
And I don't know how he can be at this point. I mean, it's, you know what this organization is about, young guys who can contribute for a long period of time, and right now his health certainly seems to be a little bit of a question mark. Mary Kay, wanted to ask you about Leon McFadden. I thought he had a very rough night out there, to be kind, against the Chicago Bears backups. What's your take on Leon McFadden, and does that mean, do you think that cornerback is a position that the Browns maybe need to address from outside of this building before the season opens on September the 8th?
Yes, cornerback is definitely something that they're going to have to take another look at, in large part because we just don't know yet what's going on with Chris Owens' foot. He's got the strained arch. When I talked to him last week, he said it's just not right. And then when you look at Leon McFadden, I think Leon deserves just a little tiny bit of a pass based on the fact that he missed a ton of camp. And when you're a rookie, you just can't afford to miss any reps. But think of all those years when you worry about those rookie holdouts. Even when a guy missed a day or 2 days, it seemed almost catastrophic that they were missing this much time because there's so much install and things like that. Mm-hmm. So Leon missed a lot of practice. And they weren't planning on him, you know, coming in there and playing a huge role right away anyways. But that was a setback for him. And, you know, he's obviously got a ways to go. So, I would think that they would be looking around at that spot too.
Yeah, they got to keep an eye on something for a cornerback. And my sense is there will be a couple of pretty good ones out there. And conceivably,
yes,
someone that could, as Nathan was talking about earlier, you know, the Seahawks are have a little bit of an embarrassment of riches at that position, so they could cut somebody loose that could easily maybe come in here and emerge as the starter. Because I look at Buster Skrine, and the more I watch him play in practice, the more I'm seeing his right spot as a nickelback.
Totally, and I think he can be good there, and I'm fine with that. I agree.
What do you think, Mark?
I think so, too, and I think that that was supposed to be the plan. I think Chris Owens was supposed to hold down the other outside spot. And, you know, and even that was going to be a little bit experimental because, you know, he was showing some good things in practice, but, you know, even in Atlanta, he had basically, you know, lost his starting job along the way and had been relegated to special teams mostly last year. So, you know, he was even struggling a little bit in his featured role as the nickelback. So I would think that they would have to look for someone there. And like you guys said, there will be guys that will shake out. And, you know, at this point, with Leon not being up to speed yet, they would probably have to go out and look pretty hard there.
Special teams. That's the last spot. The specialist, the punter, the kicker. Spencer Lanning, I think, very impressive last night. Made a very compelling case to be here in a Cleveland Browns uniform come September the 8th. How do you see those two, the punter and the kicker position, shaking out? Do you think it's going to be Graham and Lanning? And if not, who do you think is going to end up in those spots?
Well, you know what? I think for right now, I mean, if you look at the guys that are on the roster, the two that would stick around would be Spencer Lanning and Shane Graham. Now, from everything I could tell last night, Shane Graham's back is not a huge concern. So I think that they probably will head into the season with these two guys unless a good veteran shakes out from these cuts and they find someone that they feel can be an upgrade over either of these two guys. They have no allegiance or loyalty to any of them. And I do think that even in the case of Shane Graham, you know, I think that they had kind of hoped that they could find someone with a little bit of a stronger leg. Now, he did have a decent preseason, so they're comfortable with both of these guys. But, you know, they wouldn't hesitate to upgrade if they could.
All right, Mary Kay, the real thing starts Sunday, a week from Sunday, September 8th against the Dolphins. But really, for our purposes, it all begins in earnest on Monday as they start preparing. I'm guessing you are anxious for that to get here.
Oh, yes. This is the time of year where we're ready to you know, pare down the roster, you know, get the field in the locker room looking like it's going to be for the year. It just has a whole different vibe starting on Monday.
Yep.
And, you know, just everything gets ratcheted up, the excitement, the intensity, it just kind of all comes together. There's not that uncertainty of guys wandering around the locker room wondering where they're going to be next week. And, you know, the coaches are really excited to see what they can do. There's a couple of question marks, of course. You know, Barkevious Mingo, when will he be able to come back and get in there? He'll have some more exams this week. You know, I never really thought he would be ready for the opener. And, you know, I know that Adam Schefter reported that he is probable for the second week, but I still think it's a wait-and-see kind of thing. He's got to undergo those tests. They have to see how that bruise is healed.
Yeah, we'll see how that all works out. Thank you so much for taking
Great
the time
stuff.
To join us, and we will talk with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, covers the Browns. Check out her work there. Great breakdown. And we've got more for you. Gerard Cherry is going to join us in hour number two, about maybe, I don't know, about a half hour or so from now. We'll hear from Gerard and get his thoughts on last night and going forward. And we want your thoughts. We want your involvement. We want your interaction. 216-578-0850 is how you provide that one way. 216-578-0850. Or you tweet us at Browns_daily. I think I got an email or two that I might want to read too from the daily at clevelandbrowns.com address. So many ways, Nathan. So many ways
so many
they can
ways.
Connect with
They
us.
Can connect. I know. We talked about it. Listen.
Look at my iPhone.
Yeah, look
at another person saying, hey, I want to say something.
It just happens right now. They keep pouring in here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.